Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Many have a tendency to classify sin as big sins and little sins. Sometimes this classification is determined by what I do that is wrong in contrast to what you do that is wrong. For you see, your sins are big and mine are usually little. But we also think that one person who steals $5 has committed a little sin, while a person that steals $1 million has committed a big sin. Well, we classify lying in terms of white lies and black lies. We all seem to recognize adultery and idolatry and murder and such as that to be sinful, and it is sinful. But such sins contributed to the downfall of Israel and Judah. But we also must notice that murmuring, complaining, and grumbling were mislisted along with those other things of which they were guilty. The sin of grumbling was one of the reasons many Israelites fell in the wilderness. And this being true, why should we conclude that murmuring and complaining are less displeasing to God today? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now Paul tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men have sinned, but not all have sinned the same way. Yes, there are some who are guilty of murder, and of drunkenness, and of lying, and of some other things like that. But very likely, many, if not most of us, have been guilty of murmuring and complaining and grumbling. So we have now under consideration that which is not foreign to us as we talk about the sin of grumbling. Actually, grumbling is one of the most useless activities in which we can engage. It's about as beneficial as a man in the story about building the great Hoover Dam, once named the Boulder Dam in Arizona. It was my privilege to see that huge structure some years ago, and it is massive. It blocks the very swift and powerful Colorado River that cuts its way through the Grand Canyon. And the benefits of that dam are immeasurable regarding flood control and irrigation and energy and other such benefits. But what would you think of a man who, at the very beginning of the building of that dam, came forward and said he would build it and simply began tossing stones over the canyon wall into the river? Why, we need not go on with the uselessness of such an effort as that. We would suggest, however, that the exercise of grumbling is just about as beneficial as that. And it is even harmful. What can be accomplished by grumbling? We evidently must think there's some usefulness in it because so many of us do so much of it. But does it really ease any pain? Has it ever changed the weather? How many church problems has it solved? It's caused quite a few. How many has it solved? Does it produce a better person? Has it caused food to taste any better? How many have been made healthier, wealthier, and wiser because they grumbled? Did it ever produce a friend? Now, it's alienated many friends from each other, hasn't it? It never improves the disposition. In fact, it really does not bring satisfaction and contentment even to the grumbler. It probably has never produced any good without creating a worse side effect. It just is not one of the things that are recommended in the manner of conduct for anybody, is it? Now, one of the finest characteristics one can develop in life is that of contentment. Now, please do not confuse contentment with self-satisfaction and indifference and laziness. But Paul wrote, godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. Grumbling reveals something ugly about the grumbler. It reveals an attitude of heart that is not becoming to a child of God. And Jesus taught, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, Matthew 12:34. Friend, when we grumble and complain, we show what's in our heart. And when you complain, why, in sunshine or rain, there's something wrong in the heart. Sometimes with some people, something is always wrong. From the very beginning to the end of things, something is always wrong and they complain about it. The Christian has less reason to complain than anybody on earth. Now, that's not to say that being a Christian is living on a bed of roses. That's not the case at all. But the mature Christian has learned to live with contentment. He enjoys the spiritual and physical blessings from God. He knows where he came from. He knows why he's here. He knows how to live while he's here. He knows where he's going. He's secure so long as he remains faithful in Christ. He does not fear what man can do unto him. He has been cleansed from that which can destroy body and soul. He considers his life as an existence of preparation for that grand and glorious eternity with God. He does not give such emphasis to the affairs of this life and this world that he allows them to destroy and disrupt his peace with God. And actually, we do injury to the cause of Christ to be a grumbler and complainer. We set such a bad example before others, even our children, that they conclude, even if not expressed out loud, we want none of that way of life. Is that what it is to be a Christian? Well, if it is, who needs it? Friend, this sin hurts the church. It hurts the grumbler. It hurts everyone around the grumbler. If there's something that's out of line, then deal with it. Do something about it constructively. But just to keep up a barrage of complaints is not the Christ-like way to behave. The Israelites were known for much complaining. When they left Egypt and they were bound in by the Red Sea and the mountains and Pharaoh's army, they began to complain. Why did you bring us out here? But God delivered them, did he not? And once they were safely on the other side of the sea, they began to complain about the lack of food and water, as if God was not aware of their needs and did not concern himself with them. They murmured, why, we could have stayed back in Egypt and done better than this. We'd rather die there than come over here and be killed by giants. We don't like this and we object to that. And on it went, year after year. I really don't see how Moses fared as well as he did with all of that mouthing and griping and vexing horde of wanderers. Each time God did something on their behalf, they would calm down, but would soon forget God's goodness and mercy, and soon they were heard complaining and murmuring and grumbling about something else. Grumbling only brought sorrow to the Israelites. Has it ever produced much else? Has it ever produced happiness? Once fiery serpents were sent into their midst, and those that were bitten died. Their complaining against God's instructions to enter Canaan, their failure to listen to the words of faith and courage from Joshua and Caleb and Moses, caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Their complaints never relieved any of them of any difficulty. It only brought them into displeasure with God because of their gross ingratitude. Paul noted that it was a contributing factor to the downfall of many of them, didn't he? Are we somehow immune from the dire consequences of similar activities? Friend, when we grumble and complain, it is offensive to God, because actually we're complaining against his provisions for us. Moses told Israel, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord that heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Exodus 16 and verse 8. God guides our lives. He's promised us providence if we seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness first in our lives. Matthew 6 and verse 33-34. Has he not promised us his protection and care? Is it not because we doubt the word of God that we lift our voices in complaint? Is it our lack of faith that we murmur when anything gets off balance in some way? Has he not promised that we will not be tempted above that we can bear, what we can overcome, that he provides a way of escape? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And Paul said, do all things without murmuring and disputing, Philippians 2 and verse 14. To murmur is closely akin to rebellion against God. It's a questioning of his wisdom. How unhappy are those who find fault with everything and everybody, anytime, every time, regardless of who, what, when, where, or why. They are miserable, and they seem to be discontent unless they can make everybody around them the same way. Now, there's another side of life, if we would be open in our eyes to see it. Alongside the bitter, there is the sweet. There is the bad, that's sure. But it is offset by the good that abounds. Only in heaven will everything be perfectly good. And is that not one additional reason that heaven is so appealing to mankind? We have so many blessings for which to be thankful. Israel forgot her blessings. And we're often found walking in their ungrateful footsteps, are we not? The best and sure cure for grumbling is to heed the admonition of that song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Someone said that he complained that he had no shoes until he met the man who had no feet. The grumbler's life is ever so sad. It is filled with sorrows and woes. He hasn't thought how content he could be by counting the blessings God bestows. Friend, we make our lot in life heavier and our lives harder by complaining about matters over which we have no control. If there's something that we can do about a matter, we better be busy and get to doing it, not just simply complain about it. And if there's nothing we can do about it, grumbling's not going to help. The great blessing that we who are children of God have is the forgiveness of sins. We do not have to live life in fear of death or in dread of judgment. We belong to Christ, and those faithful in Christ have every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We are the recipients of the benefits of God's grace because we have come to the one who brought grace and truth into the world, John 1, verse 17. Believing God to be faithful to his word, what reason do we have to spend our lives and to mar our happiness with grumbling and murmuring and complaining? Seeing what God has done for us, we really ought to be ashamed of ourselves to the extent that we will lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving, rather than with grumbles and with murmurs. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.